If you'd have your Bibles, open up to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. And if you look at verse 12, it says, "Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, 'Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?' And he sent out two of his disciples, and he said to them, 'Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. Wherever he goes in, say to the master of the house, "The teacher says, where's the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And then he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There make ready for us.' So his disciples went out, came into the city, found it just as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening he was there with the 12." Again, on the night that Jesus was to be betrayed, prior to his betrayal and then the leading to stand before the various councils of the Sanhedrin and before Pilate, Jesus had one final meal with his disciples, the Passover meal. We call it the Last Supper. And as Jesus was entering into Jerusalem, he sent two of his disciples into the city of Jerusalem, which is where we are at the present time, and told them to follow a man carrying a pitcher of water. Now, there's thousands and thousands of people there in Jerusalem for the Passover. And perhaps some have suggested that because women usually carried the water, perhaps the fact that a man was carrying the water, maybe that's why they were able to follow him. Well, that's supposition, but who knows? Nonetheless, Jesus told them the man to find. They found the man. He led them to the upper room, and it was there that they made ready for the final supper. It was there while they were in the upper room that a number of things occurred. They had their meal, which was customary. But then also, there in the upper room, Jesus washed all of his disciples' feet. He girded himself with a towel, John's gospel tells us, and he went around to each one of his disciples, and he began to wash their feet there in the upper room. He washed John's feet. Oh, well, that's easy. That's the disciple whom Jesus loved. At least that's what John calls himself. He washed Matthew's feet. He was a tax collector. He left everything and followed Jesus. He came to Peter. And Peter said, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" And he said, "Peter, what I'm doing now you don't understand, but you'll know after this." And Peter said, "You'll never wash my feet, Lord." And the Lord said, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part with me." Peter then said, "Lord, then basically shower me then." And Jesus said, "Peter, I don't need to do that. That's not necessary. I'm just going to wash your feet." Remember also in the upper room, he washed Judas's feet, the one that would betray him. And while they were there in the upper room, not only did he wash the disciples' feet, but he then pointed out his betrayer. And while they were there in the upper room, Jesus said, with sorrow filled in his heart, "One of you is going to betray me tonight." And the interesting thing the Bible records is that each one of the disciples began to question, "Is it I? Is it me, Lord? Am I the one that's going to do it?" Sometimes we think, or we suppose at least, that it would have been so obvious. Surely it's Judas. That Judas, if you were to line up all of the disciples alongside of one another, that Judas would be the one wearing the black robe. He would have a big, thick mustache. He would just look evil. He must be the bad guy. But Judas was so good at being fake, no one could tell. He was such a hypocrite. He was so good at playing a part that nobody even suspected Judas. In fact, even after Jesus dismissed Judas, having dipped the bread with him into the sop there and they partook of it together, Jesus dismissed him and said, "What you do, do quickly." They still didn't know that it was Judas until later on. They thought Judas was going to buy more supplies because he was the treasurer and perhaps Jesus was sending him on another errand. But see, Judas had already made an agreement with the Sanhedrin, with the religious leaders, to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. So Jesus dismisses Judas out into the darkness of the night, the Bible says, and he was there with his disciples there in the upper room, and he took the common elements that they had at every meal, bread and wine, and he gave them a different meaning. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. I want you to partake of it and do this in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup. And we'll talk more about this tonight at dinner. But he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "Listen, this cup now represents the blood of the new covenant. That's my blood that's going to be shed for you. Drink from it, all of you. Remember me." And then the Bible says that after they partook of that meal, that Jesus and his disciples, interesting, it says they sang a hymn. The Bible says that, probably some of the Psalms. But could you imagine Jesus? Wouldn't you want a recording of Jesus singing? Jesus and the disciples singing a hearty song. And then they made their way out from the upper room, and then they made their way across the Kidron Valley. They made their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus would be betrayed. But there was a lot that went on in that upper room, an example of being a servant. Jesus said, as I've done unto you, this is what you're supposed to do to one another. This is that which represents my body. I mean, it was a powerful time, the Last Supper. But that's not the only place where we find the disciples in an upper room. In fact, when you come to the book of Acts, in the first chapter, after the ascension of Jesus, as we were there on the Mount of Olives, after Jesus ascends from the Mount of Olives, notice what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, that's where we were earlier, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they entered, they went into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas, the son of James. And these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So once Jesus had ascended off of the Mount of Olives, they made their way back down, back into the city of Jerusalem, whether it was the exact same upper room or a different upper room. It doesn't matter. It was an upper room. And there they dwelt. The reason is Jesus told them to go into the city and to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. I want you to go into Jerusalem and wait for the blessing. And then we find on the day of Pentecost, as they were there waiting, after Passover, waiting for the Holy Spirit to come upon them in this upper room, the Bible tells us in chapter 2 of Acts, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak to one another with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As they were there in the upper room praying and waiting for the Holy Spirit, the day occurred. On the day of Pentecost, it says that in that upper room, it was like a mighty rushing wind that came in. It felt like that. And it says that there was divided upon them tongues of fire, the giftings of the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with tongues there. And the people that were around who had gathered were still there during the celebration, heard what they were saying. And they said, are these people intoxicated? Why are they speaking all these strange languages? And then Peter went on to clarify what had happened, that actually this power of the Holy Spirit coming upon them was a fulfillment of what Joel prophesied in Joel chapter 2, that in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon your sons, upon your daughters, and talks about dreaming dreams and having visions in the last days. This is what's going to occur. And Peter, what I love about it is Peter gives a biblical reference for what took place. The work of the Spirit was backed up by the Word of God. It wasn't some aberrant thing. Peter says, this is that which was spoken of in the Word of God. And he verifies the demonstration of the work of the Holy Spirit through the Scriptures. If you can't verify the demonstration of what you call the work of the Holy Spirit, then it's very possible it's not the Holy Spirit, because the Lord's not going to contradict himself. And so we find him proclaiming that there, and the Holy Spirit came upon them in the upper room. They went out and began to preach the gospel everywhere. Listen, it's my prayer, guys, that even as they were there in that upper room, that perhaps the Lord would come upon us today and we'd be baptized afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit and go out and fulfill the Great Commission just as they were told here in this city as well. Father, we ask that you do that work in our lives. Baptize us afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.